It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 403. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. Can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Send me a Facebook request, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And don't forget, you can get links to all of the archive shows and lots of other great information about the podcast. And that's over on the Mike Tech Show Wiki at mtswiki.com. Have another jam-packed show, lots of little stories and opinions on lots of things happening and lots of things that I've been seeing this past week. Got a great segment that I'm going to lead the show off with. And then I have some great emails that we'll get to, and I do have music for the end of the show. So before we get started, GoToMeeting, the ultimate online meeting service. With colleagues working from home or traveling for business, getting everyone together for a meeting can be an impossible task. And I have the solution, and it's GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Your team can meet face-to-face while online, no matter where they are, and it takes just seconds, and it's so easy. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. I love GoToMeeting, and Mike Tech Show listeners can start hosting your own face-to-face meeting online right now with GoToMeeting, and you can get it free for 30 days. But you have to visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and enter the promo code podcast. So click on the Try It Free button and enter podcast. So a couple things that I want to talk about. And I often mention when someone asks me, what is your favorite antivirus program? Used to say it was Avira. I like a program until it disappoints me. Then when the software disappoints me, that's it. I'm done with it, and I won't recommend it, and I won't use it. And right now, Avira has become annoying. The free version used to just pop up one ad. I can live with one ad a day for free. But what I can't live with is several ads and being constantly bombarded all day with pop-ups from Avira. So now Avira is off my list. I do not recommend them. I say, forget it, unless you're going to pay the money. And why pay the money when you got a program like Microsoft Security Essentials? And I have been late to the party on this, but over the last few weeks, I have been installing it exclusively. I'm even using it myself, and I've had no problems, no performance issues. It's been working fine. I've been installing it on clients. The laptop behind me has it on it. There are lots of machines that I've been putting it on. And I will continue to use Microsoft Security Essentials until it disappoints me. And that's what happens with software. I'll use it for a while, and then they do something ugly and evil, and I don't like it. So I understand that you have to make money, and companies, a way to offset the costs by having advertising, and I understand that. It's why I have a sponsor for the show to help with costs. It's why I have an affiliate with Amazon and ask you to use my Amazon link. I understand that. But when it's constantly in your face to the point of annoyance, which is what a virus is doing, I say enough is enough. It's gone. Ripped it off my machine. Now Microsoft Security Essentials. So that was one thing. The Ask website, ask.com, and the Ask toolbar. Does anybody really want it and use it? That's something I'm tired of. And it's constantly installed, and they now sneak it in. Before, they, with certain programs you were installing, at least you used to have the choice. Do you want it installed? Now it gets silently installed because I've removed it. And I don't know if it was the last Flash or Java update, but one of them silently installed the Ask and changed my default homepages on my websites and tried to shove down my throat the Ask toolbar, and I rip it out and I remove it, and I keep seeing this constantly on clients' systems. Does anybody really use it? And would you want to use it? When someone does that, I take the complete opposite response. If you keep shoving it in front of me like that, I will go out of my way to never use it. I don't understand that marketing strategy. Because if you do something to the point where it's annoying, you're going to make people angry. And you're going to have the exact opposite effect. It's like having a commercial. And if it's annoying, you're not going to buy the product. I don't care if they were giving away free stuff, and I'm not going there. They could be the last search engine in the world, and I will not go there because of their marketing techniques. Enough with Ask. Here's something I've been working on. I was really surprised about this. In the past week, I have worked on 5 XP computers that only had Service Pack 2. I was shocked to see that many systems from a client where it was one of their home systems. It was another one was a referral from a friend of a friend where I'm now going in there and working on their system. And the systems are so old, they're taking forever to install Service Pack 3. So the first thing I do is I get Service Pack 3 going. And even sometimes getting Service Pack 3 to launch, there wasn't enough. there wasn't enough of the installer, and there was other things that had to be updated before Service Pack 3 would even install. Then after Service Pack 3, and boy, I got to bunch these together and offer them up because it takes too long to download. There's 119, I know, because this happened last night for a system. There's 119 post-Service Pack 3 updates. And boy, what a mess. What I'll do first is you got to make sure there's enough space. I'm working on many systems that they don't have a lot of space. So the first thing I'll do is go in and make sure that I am seeing all the hidden and protected files. So now you can go into the Windows directory and delete all of the older legacy information to be able to uninstall a hotfix or service pack that was installed over the past years. They begin with a dollar sign, and they're usually blue because they're compressed. If you highlight and delete all of them, you're going to get a lot of space back on your C drive. So I do that. I'll run the temporary file cleaner by old timer. That gets me a lot of space back. Once I do that, run C cleaner and dump a lot more space. And now after that purging, you have enough space to go attempt Service Pack 3. Then I get Service Pack 3 on, and once I do that, I will start to tweak and clean up the system. Then I will be able to install Microsoft Security Essentials, which Barb put in the chat. That's exactly why I tried to install Microsoft Security Essentials, because there was no antivirus, and it said you'd got to have Service Pack 3 to install it. And there's lots of other antiviruses out there the same way. The best thing is get Service Pack 3 down, get Microsoft Security Essentials, but remember, before you install an antivirus, rip out and remove whatever antivirus is on there, Now, last night, I'm working on a system that at the AOL security suite, whatever that is, and they had the Norton suite, and both of them were outdated, and neither of them were working. All they were doing was taking up unbelievable space on the system and just slowing it down to a crawl. Another thing on an older system is to quickly get into MS config and just turn off everything. Just turn it all off and then reboot. Then you have a fighting chance of making the system usable. Then, of course, go back, run CCleaner to clean the registry. Now you got a system that's usable. Then let the updates start coming down. And that's when I'll leave it. And I'll let the person know, hey, you're going to be getting a ton of updates. Just let them go down. Answer the questions positive. Okay it to death whenever it asked. And this way they're not paying me to kind of hang around and wait for all those updates to happen. Just some advice and some things that I've been doing. And literally, like I said, the past week, 5 computers like that. And I know there's more. They're out there. I'll eventually run into them. An error I ran into. I'm redoing a laptop. And in the course of redoing something that, and I'm going to put the links into the show notes for this, and I've mentioned it before, and Carrie and I have mentioned the links in past Tech Vets, it's the ISO images for Windows 7 versions. And I needed this for a laptop that had the key underneath, and it did not have the... We didn't have the media, and I downloaded the media. I used the key, and here's what happened. When I went to activate, it said I needed to call Microsoft. And I was like, okay, call the 800 number. And it was very easy. You know, yeah, but you have this long list of numbers, and they walk you through like 3-4 minutes. I had everything activated. So I believe it was a retail ISO, but it was an OEM key. And the process with Microsoft, it's so automated, it makes it very, very easy to do. So if you have the media and you know the keys on the bottom of the system, you're in great shape. So I'm going to link the Windows 7 media where you should download 6 ISOs. Now, what are the 6 ISOs? Windows 7 Home Premium, 32 and 64-bit. Windows 7 Professional, 32 and 64-bit. Windows 7 Ultimate, 32 and 64-bit. Armed with those 6 DVDs, you should be able to reinstall any Windows 7 system that has the key with no problem. So now, after redoing that, I have all the drivers and I'm loading everything, and all of a sudden, I can't get any Windows updates. Windows updates was broken. And I tried the internet repair. I tried tweaking utilities. They would not fix it. I couldn't believe this. And I said, you know what? I have everything here. Windows 7 installs pretty fast. Let me just reinstall Windows 7. Only this time, after every driver I installed, I checked to see which driver or which program killed the Windows update. And I was patient and created a restore point at each step because I wanted to know what broke the Windows update, and I found what it was. And this is what did it. It is the Intel Matrix storage driver killed the Windows update. And as soon as I did a restore, I went back to the restore point right before that update. The updates will work. Interesting. So why do we, I started researching, why do we need the Intel Matrix storage driver? And I've come to this conclusion, and I want to know if you agree or disagree with this. If you have a RAID controller, you should have it. But if you don't, it really doesn't do anything for you. Is that a good summary and assumption of that? That's my take with just reading online, that there's no real benefit of the Intel Matrix driver unless you are doing some sort of RAID. And Norbert in the chat, I have an email that he sent to the Tech Podcast Network that I'm actually going to share with everybody. So he says the better question is, why does the Intel Matrix storage driver kill Windows Update? And you're absolutely right. And I couldn't directly find the answer to that. So is anybody else experiencing that problem? It's just one of those anomalies I happened to run into this week, and I wanted to share it. A couple other things. Ustream. Here you go. The last few weeks, something got updated somewhere that started to break and crash when I was going to record, and it seemed to always break the sound. But once I updated Flash and Java, I've come to the realization it is now Webcam Max, and it's the combination of Webcam Max, and I'm up to the latest version, Firefox 11, and the driver that Ustream uses, the applet that Ustream loads when you go to start a broadcast. It kills my setup to where I got to go into Task Manager and kill Firefox. I killed Webcam Max, and I started everything up, only this time no Webcam Max. And this is now 2 weeks in a row where I'm using the camera natively in the driver for Ustream, and for just one camera, and I still got my mixer, because it seemed to always lock up and we thought it was the mixer, but the problem is the whole thing was locking, and it just seemed to point to the sound and the mixer. Norbert's recommending Manycam. I know, I've paid for the lifetime upgrade of Webcam Max, and you know, it's been good to me for a long, long time. What is a better question is, why is it killing with Firefox, and why can't I use Internet Explorer or Chrome to broadcast on Ustream? I can't. It literally crashes the browser, and not only that, it then leaves it in a state that Ustream thinks I'm already broadcasting, and I can't even launch Firefox. I have to do a complete reboot of my computer. So there's something in the root of my system that's not allowing me to use Internet Explorer and Chrome. So I think it's time for a complete redo of my computer. And at the same time, I'm also thinking of getting a new system. And if I get a new system that's going to be my production system, I am going to redo this computer and leave it untouched. It will be the podcasting computer. It cannot be touched for any other task at all. If it's the last system in the house, I'm not allowed to use it for nothing. Business, pleasure, family, nothing. It is for podcast only. And I'm going to have it where that's it. I turn that on and that's my podcasting system. So I'm going to redo it from scratch. So let's see what happens. But first, redoing this computer, it's been a long time. So it's time to dust off the Windows 7 Ultimate disk and start the update process. So we're going to, you know, just totally blow it away and redo it. Let's see what happens. I got to make sure I have a lot of time. And that's something I don't have, because this, I'm seeing an uptick in business where many of my clients are ordering new hardware, and it's keeping me extremely busy. And I have lots of systems that I got to redo. Dell boxes behind me. I got a ton of work this weekend. I have, you know, the catastrophe from the Micro Center rant. Well, I now have that client's laptop. I picked it up today, new docking station, and now I got to load her data and get it all configured. And I'm going to do that tomorrow night, maybe into Saturday. Saturday, I have a presentation at PAX, and then I am going to install her system on Sunday. She's away for a few days and didn't need the system, so it's perfect timing, and I'm going to hook it up in her house on Sunday. She's going to be extremely happy. The system is just rock solid. Dell Latitude, 8 gigs of memory, nice processor, great docking station. I'm looking forward to getting that all hooked up. Let's get to some email here, and this is from Norbert, host of Totally Cool Tech at totallycooltech.com. And Norbert's in the chat, and he sent this to the Tech Podcast network email distribution list, and it says custom QR code. How totally cool is that? Check out the custom QR code I put on the website today. I found a site that will create the custom QR codes using simple high contrast graphics and embed them into your QR code. Check out the QR code on my website under the contact me below the GoToMeeting banner. Here is the link to the site I was able to use to make it, and it's research.swth.com/gr/draw. Notice that there is a rotate button. Hit this and the code rotates to allow for better positioning of the graphic in the code. Remember to hit the update button or it just won't get into the QR code. I found after some trial and error that your URL must have the ending slash or the code will not work right. Remember to hit update and then do not hit save this QR code. It doesn't seem to generate a save picture correctly and takes you right back to the QR generator site. Go figure. However, if you right-click on the updated QR code you made and then select Save Image, it will work. You will want to test it with your smartphone if you have one, and that is the best way I found. Okay, folks, that's your totally cool tech tip for today. Have fun with it, and I hope to see some custom QR codes on your websites. Why? Because we can, that's why. Then we could trade them like baseball cards and put them on our pages as uber cool links. Let's start a new geek trend in podcasting. Eddie Takers. Norbert, that was great. And it's because this is so cool and the QR codes that I wanted to share that with everybody. So, Norbert, great email. Thank you. See, I don't reply to these things on the tech podcast distribution list, but I do read them. This is from Scott. Great help here. He's given me some tips to and a lot of you, and I really appreciate this, which is the question on how to cleanly wipe a Mac OS X drive that I put out in the last show. And he says, hi, Mike, if you boot a Mac from any OS X disk, just go into the disk utility from the utilities menu at the top. Then just select the drive you want to wipe, choose the erase tab, and then click the security options button. You can choose to zero out the data, erase the data 7 times or even 35 times. I attached a screenshot below for reference. Scott, awesome. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. This is from Curtis. And this is, again, the secure erase. Hey, Mike, just listen to show 402 where you asked if there was something like DBAN for Mac. There are some PowPC and PPC ISOs on the DBAN SourceForge site. I have not used them personally, but it does say that DBAN will work with Mac. However, there is a nice utility that is available using Linux. It's called the wipe command. You can use a live Ubuntu CD and then run the command. I have not done the wipe command from a live CD, but I have from the terminal on Linux, and it works well. Below is a link on how to use the wipe command with a live CD. However, I would run it a little different than they suggest. They just give it a default one pass. I would do wipe space dash RCF and then the device label. He has a link on howtogeek.com on how to do this. I will make sure that's in the show notes. This is from Melanie. Hello, Mike. Thank you for your brilliant show, which I listen to and learn from while hill walking. Yesterday, I deleted in error a Word 2010 document, and a .docx, and foolishly emptied my trash bin. Uh-oh. Tried various tips tools to locate and reinstate this. Time-wise, not worth doing a full data recovery. Finally, I rebuilt the document based on an older backed-up version. Here's my question. Is there any tip you or your listeners may have to share on this trash bin problem? locating a freshly deleted Doc X of which you have the correct name of the document, setting the trash bin in Windows so that empty trash bin contents are stored somewhere for a day or two. Kind regards, Melanie. You need a protected trash bin, which I remember, and I'm not recommending this, but I remember Norton used to have a protected trash bin, and then I used to have to empty the trash bin and then empty the Norton protected trash bin. You're really asking for that, but I'm not recommending you to install Norton or that. I don't like the Semantic products. Two things. I don't know if there is a way to adjust. Maybe there's a hack out there to adjust the trash bin settings. What I recommend, though, it's inexpensive, and you know the utility is amazing, and that's zero assumption recovery. I've recovered data that had no business being recovered from a dead USB stick. I recovered 100% using zero assumption recovery, and it was like $69. There's also a good program called Restoration that's free. I will have links to both of these programs. This is if you accidentally delete something. Remember, until you really overwrite those sectors on the hard drive, even if you empty the trash bin, those files are still there. So keep that in mind, okay? And Recuva, R-E-C-U-V-A, and they're from the makers of CCleaner. That's recommended from the chat. We have a few programs here that I think can help you after you empty the recycle bin. That might be a better way to go than installing something that just protects the trash bin. This is from Tristan, and he says, hooked after one bite. Hey, Mike, I just wanted to take a few minutes of your time to let you know how important your show has been to me. In fact, I owe a bit of credit to you and a particular piece of software you suggested. Back in 2007 or 2008, I was working with a church buddy of mine, and we passed the hours by listening to your show. How cool is that? I started with show one and worked my way through, and the episode that changed my tech career, or actually sparked it, was the one in which you mentioned Malwarebytes. I may have already emailed you the first part of this story, but long short, I could not network my home XP machine, and my wife was getting emails from herself. I ran Malwarebytes, and it found 100 to 150 problem files. I selected the option to fix the issues, restarted, and it was on the network 2 minutes later. About a year after that, I interviewed for a network admin job for a non-tech company. I used your interview tips and also mentioned my affinity for using Malwarebytes, and I started the job a week later. I have since gone on to get my associate's degree in networking systems, and I am loving every minute of working in the IT field. I have encountered some pretty fantastic issues over the years, and each one makes me think of the first time I listened to your show. My passion for troubleshooting tech issues has only gotten stronger. So thanks, Mike, with your awesome Philly accent and your fantastic tech show. You make fixing computers seem less foreboding. And once more, you are part of a young technician's road to success, and I cannot thank you enough. Tristan from Alabama. Thank you so much. That is awesome hearing that, and I'm so glad. Thank you so much for writing in and letting me know that. I really, really appreciate that. And it just makes doing this show worth it. I mean, I get chills up my spine reading something like that. And it just, I'm so happy that I'm able to help anybody. And that is awesome. So I really appreciate that. That's the last email. And I have some music I'm going to play in a second. If you know anyone likes purchasing from Amazon, buys anything from Amazon, please take a moment and use my Amazon links. That's amazon.mikenation.net or miketechshow.com/Amazon. Or you can just go to the website, miketechshow.com, and the Amazon links on the left-hand side. Click on that, and anything you purchase will give me a commission and it helps support the show. Thank you so very, very much. I have some music lined up here, and this is brand new from Linkin Park, Burn It Down. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up. That was Linkin Park and the song Burn It Down, brand new. And I will have a link where you can buy that music from Amazon.com. I want to thank everybody for joining me live for the show and for downloading and listening and staying subscribed. I really appreciate it. And I will be back same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.